Well, every church has its rules. Some call them guidelines. Some churches call them bylaws. Bylaws are necessary, though sometimes bylaws can be quite strange. For example, there's been churches that have made laws against colored drinks. One church tells us they allow no colored drinks in their sanctuary, especially red Kool-Aid. You have to wonder what incident prompted that rule to be made. One church defines an active member as someone who gives at least one penny a year. I suppose that's a way to keep a large roster roll of members. Another church states that no church member can drink alcohol except at the Lord's Supper. We would ask that you also not drink alcohol at the Lord's Supper. Finally, one interesting bylaw states that no one is allowed to bring glitter to church. And if you've ever dealt with that stuff, that is a great bylaw. Now, I tell you all of these things, trusting that our stipulations for being a member here aren't quite that strange. In fact, I believe that our recent constitution revision does a great job articulating and explaining what the Bible calls us to be, what the Bible calls us to do as church members. Frankly, I believe it represents the teaching of the Bible on that matter. And ultimately, that's really what matters. What does the Bible say about membership? Today, we're going to answer the question, what is the role of the church member? And we're going to do this by exploring six responsibilities of every church member. So why are we doing this? Why set aside a Sunday to discuss this? Well, we're not the same church that we were 5 years ago. In fact, I'd argue we're not the same church we were probably 2 years ago. And there's nothing wrong with that. We don't need to fear the CH word, change. There's an appointed time for everything, Ecclesiastes 3:1 tells us. And as we develop as a church, certain adjustments need to be made. And I'm continually assessing our ministries in light of the Word of God. And the area we'll examine today in light of that word is church membership. Church membership here must become meaningful. It's time to take a few steps now and moving forward to make it so. All across the American church, membership has basically lost its meaning. Membership is diminished when one does not understand Christ's church, and it's diminished when one does not understand why Jesus says it's important. As we stated a little bit ago, the church is so much more than a building. In the New Testament, it's overwhelmingly depicted as the gathering or as the assembly of believers. So wherever God's people are present, there you will find the church. God purposed it from all eternity. It was purchased by Christ's blood. Someone died for the church. It is being built by Christ. The Bible says it's the household over which God is the Father. It's the body over which Christ is the head. It's the kingdom over which Jesus is the ruler. Thus, to reject the church is to reject God's plan for his people. To embrace the church is to embrace God's plan for Christians. I say all this about membership because I believe membership in the local assembly is prerequisite to what we must do. If you think back or if you can recall stories about taking college classes, before you take the advanced classes, you sometimes have to take prerequisites. These are basic classes, the building blocks to more complicated classes. Well, membership is prerequisite to what we must do to who we are to be as Christians. Membership must come before these items. If you're not a member today, but you are a believer, I'd encourage you to consider what is keeping you from church membership. And of course, you're invited to become part of Christ's people here. And keep in mind also today that we're not going to cover every last responsibility of the Christian. Of course, we are to read our Bibles. We should be a prayerful people. We should be pursuing personal holiness and observing the ordinances, even submitting to church leadership. They're all part of the Christian life, but we're going to focus on some more specific responsibilities pertaining to the larger body at hand. So first, I'd say our first responsibility is to simply attend. As a Christian, you are commanded to attend church regularly. Hebrews 10, verses 24 to 25. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. When this letter to the Hebrews was written, some were already defecting from the church. Their habit was to abandon the church assembly. And consequently, they were unable to receive and unable to give encouragement. That's the core of this passage. The gathering here is to be a source of love and a source of hope. And if someone does not regularly show up to church, he or she cannot fulfill Christ's commands. I'll give you one example, which is technically 59 examples. There are 59 one another's in the New Testament. What is a one another? Well, it's two words in English. It's one word in Greek, allelon. Forgive one another. Confess sins to one another. Tolerate one another. Love one another. Serve one another. Don't lie to one another. Pray for one another. Be hospitable to one another. And the list goes on. The New Testament is teaching us to do all of these things in the body of Christ. By the way, four of them are about kissing. Greet one another with a holy kiss. We will stick to the holy handshake. Thank you. But what's the point? You can't do your job if you don't show up to the office. It's impossible to obey Christ if you don't attend his church. There's no category for the non-attending Christian in the New Testament. The pattern is that one places faith in Christ, one is baptized, and one is a participating member in the local assembly. The First Baptist Church of Wellsburg will make that New Testament pattern our pattern. Our attendance roster gives us a very clear picture of who is here and who is not. And we're making some steps now in improving that accountability. We're moving the chains forward. And there'll be some more to come in the future. So in short, we will find God's people in God's house, on God's day. It's the foundation for all that will follow, bringing us to point number two. That is, as members, we would serve. Each of us is to be serving in Christ's local church. 1 Corinthians 12, 4-7 teaches this to us. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. This means that God has given every one of you a gift. He did not give it to you to sit on. You are not to hoard it. You are not to keep it for yourself. Your giftedness is for the common good of his local church. It's a tailor-made gift. God made it for you. Some of you have multiple gifts that God has given you to use. These could be things that you're good at, things that you enjoy. There's a number of ways to identify what it is. Presently, your church has needs. There's at least 8 boards or committees that need volunteers here. We need help with children's Sunday school, junior church, changing the sign, managing the building, setting up for Sunday mornings, the website, clerical duties, event planning, and the list goes on. Some of you are doing nothing. We all have reasons and excuses for not serving, but let me give you one reason to serve: Jesus Christ. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. This means that Jesus serves you. The God-man serves us. The king serves the peasant. This should evoke some kind of a response in the heart of the Christian. Mark that. This will evoke some kind of a response in the Christian. It should make him or her want to do something as opposed to nothing. Ultimately, this lack of serving is going to be about a relationship with Christ. I mean, this is really what it comes down to, and this will be true for our desire to serve as well. If there's a joy, if there's a happiness in the Lord, that individual is going to be serving and be excited about the Bible and what it teaches about the local church. If there's a coldness or an indifference or a grudge, I mean, that person's not going to want to serve in the church. Who's going to want to serve a church if they have issues with their king? So I just want to encourage you to examine your heart this morning. Consider your involvement here. Let me help you serve the Lord. Let me help you obey Christ. This church is a great place for you to come and use your gifts. As John MacArthur has said, all Christians are but God's stewards. That's what we are. Everything we have is on loan from the Lord, and it's entrusted to us for a while to use in serving Him. So we know that we are to attend the church. We know that we are to serve the church. And thirdly, we are to fellowship among the church. When we mean fellowship, we think about a relationship. We think about communication or interacting with one another. Again, we take our cue from Scripture on this. Acts 2 is describing the activities of the early church. What were they doing? Verse 42, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Grammatically, that sentence is constructed to indicate that fellowship is designed as the breaking of bread and prayer. That breaking of bread is probably taking meals together. It may go as far as participating in the Lord's Supper. So now, many of you will be pleased to have a biblical mandate for church luncheons or a Baptist buffet, whatever you want to call it. That was a suggestion. So you're going to say, we must include food because the Bible tells us. And I think that would be fine to say. But all that is to say that fellowship is necessary for the Christian. We need this in our lives. I learned in seminary from a professor that lone rangers are dead rangers. And that would be true for us trying to live out this Christian life. We need one another. We need to give and receive fellowship. We need to give and receive love. We're to share our lives with one another. We're to share our emotions with each other. Bear the burdens of others. Mourn with others. Encourage one another and meet one another's needs. That's fellowship. And moreover, this fellowship will give us a refuge from the world. Some of us have very hard relationships in our lives. We have difficult co-workers. We have cruel family members. We find encouragement, even counsel, within this Christian fellowship. And of course, when we do this, we need to be transparent. If you come here and you hide in the corner, there's not going to be a whole lot of soul refreshment going on. But God's ordained the gathering of His people here to be a source of great love and hope and encouragement. Are you building relationships with other Christians here? Are you asking people about their lives, about their successes, about their struggles? Are you speaking to them about their prayer needs? Or is it just a rush to get out of here on Sunday morning with a minimal amount of interaction until next week? Fellowship is a God-given gift to the believer. We get to love one another just as Christ loved us. We get to love those hard to love, even as we too can be hard to love. And on top of it all, you get to eat. So take advantage of the privilege of fellowship. Membership means relationships, and it means relationships within the body of Christ. What else is a member to do? What would be a fourth responsibility? Well, that would be to grow. You, as a member of Christ's church, are to grow. To grow in the faith. 1 Peter 2, verses 2 to 3. Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. This illustration of the newborn baby is quite striking. If you think about it, the newborn craves and desires milk. The newborn, his or her life depends upon that milk. The nutrients of the milk are necessary for development. So it is for the Christian in the Scriptures. As milk is the substance of life for the newborn, so are the Scriptures the substance of life for the believer. The believer's call to be under the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. That's why we offer numerous opportunities at this church for your spiritual growth. This Sunday morning is obviously the capstone of that. But all of it's designed for just the normal Christian. To come to these extra studies doesn't mean you're a super believer. They're not designed for the extra spiritual people. They're designed for the average Christian so that he or she can grow. It's through the hearing of the Word of God that God has ordained the means of our growth. Certainly, he could have downloaded some kind of software program inside of us. He could have checked us into the sinner's rehab facility. He could have even spoken a word, at which time we would all be perfected in our salvation. But that's not what God did. We are still imperfect, but the good news is we are on our way. And until then, in the words of 2 Peter 3:18, we are to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A familiar passage to some of you from last Wednesday night. It's a call to spiritual growth. And let's be honest about this idea of growth. There's going to be days where we don't want to do it. Bible study and prayer should be things we would want to do all the time. But there's days where we do not want to do them. And I want to encourage you, believer, on those days, we need to do them anyway. God will reward that in his time. Duty will become desire, but we need to stick with it. And until then, don't let your Bible become the dustiest book in your house. Don't be a stranger to the opportunities of our church. Keep moving forward in this area. There's no neutral. You're either moving forward or you're falling backward. And for those that have bought the lie of neutrality, those are the ones of whom Satan has his scope centered on their back, calibrating it for the next shot. So we must long for the word. We must grow in our knowledge in respect to salvation. We attend, we serve, we fellowship, we grow. And fifthly, we give. A member gives to the local church. God commands believers to give his money to his church. Don read this earlier for us. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2. On the first day of every week, each one of you is to put aside and save, as he may prosper, so that no collections be made when I come. The church at Corinth was giving to God's people in Jerusalem. There was a need in Jerusalem, so in Corinth they would take up a collection on every Sunday to give that money. The Corinthians, just like us, are stewards of God's money. The steward would manage or look after someone else's property. Well, we do that with God's money, and we give back a portion of what God gives to us. How are we to do this? We're to do it generously, and we're to do it cheerfully. In the words of 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 to 7, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. You kind of get the farming illustration in there. The more seed you throw, the more crops going to grow. Your harvest will be dependent upon your sowing size, so we are to give generously. We're to give cheerfully. You should not give here if you're grumbling or complaining. Hold on to that money. Rather, we must give freely. Give because you're redeemed by Christ. Give as an act of worship unto the Lord. And give in proportion to what God gives you. Some of you are six-figure income earners. Maybe some of you are seven figures. I don't know. Give proportionately. Some of you make very little. Give proportionately. Just make sure you're giving something. In summary, be a good steward of God's money. Give cheerfully and give generously. And sixthly, last of all for this morning, a church member will be one who proclaims. I stand before a room of evangelists this morning. Some of you may not know that. Some of you may know that, but are avoiding that. If you are a Christian, you are proclaiming of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are to share the Lord. Matthew 28:19. Go therefore and make disciples. This will be the most intimidating point that I make this morning. Each of us is called to tell other people about Christ. It's not just the preacher's job. It's the call of God upon every one of our lives. And this is more than just handing out a tract. This is more than a Facebook post. And this is much more than just saying a prayer before a meal. When God sent his message to his people, he did it through people. And now God is calling you to go and send that message to the lost. Who can you tell of the hope of the gospel? Are you eager to do this? Do you desire to share the good news? Are you even happy about your faith? Do you know the gospel well enough to share it with someone else? Can you give an account for the hope that is in you? We must reach out and evangelize the unsaved. I would think that every member would want to do this. In fact, our church now is in the early stages of what I would call a revitalization. We're just beginning to see the fruits that are going to last long term here. And your efforts at outreach significantly impact the future of this church. It could be as simple as greeting a visitor who is coming into your church. It could be practicing hospitality, hosting someone at your home. It could be even fighting the fear of man and sharing Christ with others. Just don't leave it all up to me. I mean, look at this face. Are people going to stick around for this face? We need your help. I mean, all of us need to get out there and do this. And the point of the matter really is that people we know and love are dying. Church sustainability is fine, but let's talk varsity level about this. People are going to die and go to hell if they don't know Christ. And we want to tell them. We want to tell them about the good news of Jesus Christ. And maybe they'll come and worship here, but the point is that they get saved and they come and worship the Lord somewhere. We want people to be reconciled to God. We want to see them plucked from the lake of fire. We want people to know Christ. Outreach and evangelism are critical components to church membership here. And this morning we saw six responsibilities total of the church member, of you, what you and I will do. And it's both a privilege and a responsibility to walk this way. I pray we would take these disciplines seriously. I pray that we would walk with Christ, that we would grow in Christ as we do so. I'm reminded of a story that a new pastor told. He arrived at a church and immediately one of the men just disappeared. He's gone from September through January. I couldn't figure out what happened to this guy. Guy starts showing up again after January's over. So the pastor talks to him and asks him about his absences. Where have you been? Well, it turns out that he was a season ticket holder to an NFL team, and he's gone every September through January. But what's interesting about this is, as the man learned about church membership and what it meant to be part of a local fellowship, he became more and more involved in that church. And one day he approached the pastor and said, "You know, you'll be seeing me around here a lot more. I like what the Lord is doing in my life and in his church, and I want to be part of it." Isn't that what this is all about, the end of the day? It's about walking with Jesus Christ. It's about bringing glory to God. Church membership, church involvement fosters that. That's the big deal with it all. It's growing closer to Christ. It's not about looking good. It's not about earning your salvation if that were possible. It's not about keeping traditions. It's simply doing God's will and doing it God's way. Then he blesses us. Then the Lord rewards the faithful. You see, church membership is for every Christian. It's a requirement upon the Christian's life. It's the joy of obedience, and it'll bring fulfillment. So as we prepare our hearts for communion today, I'd like you to reflect upon some of these responsibilities. And let's be thankful to Christ for what he's doing in our church, for what he's doing in our hearts through the local church. Let me pray before the Baptist boys come and sing today. Father, I pray for your hand of blessing upon the First Baptist Church of Wellsburg. I realize that blessings come sometimes through trials, through difficulties and challenges.